you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Tomboy X, the queer-founded clothing line that's inclusive and sustainable. Underwear, swimwear, and more for all bodies. So you can feel good about protecting the goods. Use the code IHEART to get 20% off your first purchase. Only at tomboyx.com.
What's surveilling my... This is Robert Evans, host of It Could Happen Here, a podcast about how things are kind of falling apart and also advice on how to, you know, deal with that shit. Today, I'm here with my colleagues, Garrison Davis.
Hello.
Garrison.
Hi, sorry. Garrison. I did not know we're getting called on.
Garrison.
Onto my-
and Christopher Wong.
Hello.
Yes, that's right. And we're going to talk about privacy, about information self-defense, about avoiding surveillance with somebody who knows what the fuck they're talking about, because I sure as hell don't. And for that, I want to welcome Chelsea Manning.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Chelsea. Why wouldn't you want the government to know exactly what you're doing?
Well, I mean, it's not just the government.
Yep.
So, you know, one of the things that I do as a security consultant is I provide sort of an analysis as to what your actual tangible threats are. So depending on who you are, what you're doing, and what environment you're in, that is going to change. So in the instance of the government, it may be that you are a political dissident. It may be that you are engaged in activities that are criminalized in that society or culture, or it may be that, you know, you are simply trying to get, you know, you're trying to live your life and not have to engage with tax authorities, or, you know, so it can depend on what you're doing and who you're trying to avoid with respect to the government. I mostly focus on political activism and dissidents, and a part of that is, you know, ensuring that you are actually not being spied on or threatened by whoever your government is, whether it's a local, state, national, or international threat for you.
And I don't know. I guess my first question would be, like, for a person who's, perhaps a slightly lower imminent threat of, I mean, any of the stuff that, that you worry about or that perhaps people who are much more involved in kind of organizing have to worry about. Like, what is,
right,
what do you think is kind of the basic security hygiene toolkit that, you know, an average person ought to at least understand, if not actively practice?
Right. So the basics are, you know, a privacy-based browser, you know, something that doesn't have cookies for your internet browsing.
And you know, changing, does that mean changing, I shouldn't be using Firefox?
No, I mean, I think you know, it's understanding the privacy features of your particular browser. There are browsers like Brave that that specifically specialize in this, or Tor browser, but you know, the vast majority of browsers today have privacy features. Although, you know, there are risks that come with that as to whether or not they are revealing the true nature of how much, you know, information that they're collecting on you, where it's stored, whether it's in a cloud hosting service or whether it's, you know, on your device, on your phone, on your computer, or whether or not it's being sold to a third party advertising, you know, company, or, you know, to advertisers or to, you know, data mining companies. So, you know, it really depends, you know, like basically nothing you do, unfortunately, nothing you do on the internet or on an electronic device that is connected to another computer is truly 100% private. So it's about sort of reducing your we would say surface area, your attack surface area, or your visibility surface area as much as possible, while also maintaining a certain amount of, you know, usability, because, you know, you can go out into a cabin in Montana and live out in the woods if you so choose. But I mean, you're not going to be able to accomplish, you know, the things that you need to do, that you can do with mobile devices, with computers, with servers, and with cloud services. So it's about balancing the risk versus what you actually want to accomplish and how usable that is.
Yeah, and I don't know, what is like when you think of kind of an ideal browser solution, because right, like Tor is a whole thing as opposed to just like grabbing Chrome or Firefox. It's more involved of a process to use. What do you think? Like when you're kind of like recommending like what people should do, kind of what is your probably safe best practice in terms of just browsing?
In terms of just browsing, I would say know the sites that you're browsing, know their privacy. You know, like you don't have to read the privacy, you know, terms and conditions yourself, because it's usually in legalistic gobbledygook. But you can read articles about it. You can find out, you know, from somebody who knows what those are and how they change. You have to update that. So, you know, they update their terms of service sometimes every 6 months. I know that some companies do this more frequently and they don't notify you. They'll notify you that it's been changed like 3 months ago, you know, like, so, you know, you gotta keep on top of it. And then, you know, just sort of like know. I mean, another big thing is password hygiene. You know, you got to use. I mean, I always recommend using a password manager. Like the most basic people should use a strong password manager that generates, you know, specific passwords for specific accounts. Because you know, nobody can memorize. Nobody can memorize. Like I think I have like 90 passwords that I use on a regular basis, but I only memorize like 3 or 4, you know, for my device, one for each specific device, and then another for the password manager itself. So you know those are basics. So everyone should be doing those things. They aren't, but you should. You know, even if your political views are that, you know, Britney Spears should be freed. You know, if you're not facing like an existential threat from a fascist dictator, you know, or a police state that, you know, is discriminating against, you know, a particular class of or group of people, then you should be doing these things anyway. You know, even though they would help you in that situation, you should be doing these things baseline.
And, okay, so outside of just kind of like browsing protection, right? Like, let's say that's not your primary worry. Let's say you're worried about being kind of like physically surveilled, or
yeah,
physically followed, having your space, having someone enter it, and you know, potentially even when you're not there. What are kind of the physical security measures that that you think are kind of accessible, you know, without getting James Bond about it and buying a bunch of bugs? Like, we're talking kind of low tech, low cost things that a person could deploy kind of in the moment if they suddenly start to worry that they're being targeted for that sort of thing.
Right. So in terms of physical surveillance and protection, there's, again, you know, a ladder in terms of what you can do and what you should do. Some basic things are put a strong alphanumeric password onto your phone. Even if you have, you know, your facial recognition or your touch feature enabled, your biometrics enabled, maintain physical possession of your phone, have a strong password. And then if you are in an environment where you feel that you are at risk, know how to disable the biometric feature. For instance, you know, with my phone, the iPhone 12, you have to hold down two buttons for 5 seconds. It's the up volume button and the power button. If you hold those two down for 5 seconds, it automatically locks the biometric features, which don't have the same protections they don't have the same legal protections as your password. And, you know, you can't be forced. And even if you are in a place where they can force you to do so, you know, they can't just hold up your phone or, you know, put your finger right onto your device. Encrypt your phones, like ensure that you have hardware encryption on your Apple, I always recommend like iPhones in particular for people, not because Androids are bad or anything. It's just that, you know, the type of encryption that it uses is built baked into the hardware as opposed to into the software, you know. And I know there's this whole debate over, and you know, Android, you know, Apple being able to decrypt phones and things like that. But I mean, at the end of the day, an Android phone is 100,000 times easier to break into than an Apple phone, just by virtue of the fact that it has hardware encryption, and it's baked right into the device. Android phones use software, which is a type of software that is crackable. And it's the type that's used on like a Linux computer, you know, crypt setup. So, so as you're moving up the ladder, in terms of like physical surveillance, by somebody who's following you, there are ways in which you can detect that, because, you know, you can be paranoid and you can be like, okay, is this person following? Well, but you know, there's things that you can do. You know, you can alter your route. You can alter the patterns of where and how you are moving. For instance, if you go to the coffee shop at 3 p.m. every day, at the same time, every weekday that you go to your, you know, wherever you go, change it up. You know, like don't go to that coffee shop one day, or go to a different coffee shop, or, you know, change up the pattern of how you go. Like, you know, go down this street, you know, mix it up a bit. If you believe that you are actively being surveilled, you can do what's called a surveillance detection route, which is where you alter your path to a pre-designated bottleneck where no other person, there's not like three paths to the same place. There's a bottleneck, like a bridge or a tunnel or an alleyway that you would have to go through if you are being followed, and then you can detect and confirm that you are in fact being followed by an individual. And physical surveillance is typically not done by an individual. Obviously, in the case of like a stalker, it may be, but if it's like a law enforcement agency or an intelligence agency or Even like a paramilitary, you know, militia group, typically they're going to use typically at least three or more people that are in communication with each other. And then that's another thing that you can look for is, do they have radios? Do they have earpieces? Are they wearing clothing that would hide the fact that they're wearing a radio, for instance? Or, you know, and that also goes for like firearms, right? You know, if they're wearing a baggy clothing or a suit that is a little ill-fitting, it's a little too much, then they may be trying to hide some bulge or something. Somebody who's in a tight-fitting leotard is probably not surveilling you.
And one of the things that kind of I always have in mind when I'm at like a hotel or you know, an Airbnb or whatever in a strange place, if I am concerned about like being followed, is trying to set up little catches.
Telltales.
Yeah, telltales. Could you talk about that a little bit?
So telltales, and there's hundreds of methods mm-hmm. of doing these things. They're little. So sometimes they can be simple things like setting a book or an item on top of something or in front of something at a particular angle, and that angle may be you can take a picture of it, or you can mark the angle of that particular item. You know, something that you know you would that you would not think, you know, you would just be like, okay, here's an item that's in the way, and you might move that if you are trying to surreptitiously enter into something. And then they would put it back, but they wouldn't put it back quite in the same way, right? So if they don't see the telltale, the fact that it's a telltale, it may be like completely off, right? There's also things that you can do in terms of like having seals. You know, I tend to keep, you know, evidence tape, which is difficult to break, and serialize that evidence tape at that, to know that, you know, that it has a particular serial number on it, mm-hmm. to be able to detect whether an item has been broken into, or that, you know, that the seal has been broken into. And that would be very difficult. I mean, it's possible, but it would take, you would be talking about the resources of a very sophisticated state actor with an enormous amount of planning and an enormous amount of intelligence gathering to be able to replicate that seal that's been broken. And there's simple things like, you know, using tape and spaghetti, you know, like dried spaghetti, like pre-cooked spaghetti, something that would break if, you know, a door is open or something.
Literally, so, you know, that photo of the Cheeto over the door latch.
Yeah, I think that's from that's from Death Note, right?
I don't know, actually. You know, you and I talk pretty regularly, and one thing you've kind of are constantly going over in your head is kind of different potential risk scenarios you see happening. You spend a lot of time thinking about what might happen and what the best response would be in that situation.
And there's a lot of precedent for most things are typically a lot of precedent. You know, it may not be, I mean, like, for instance, in the U.S., you know, there may be situations or, you know, things that have happened in the past, but not recently, or things that have happened internationally that have not happened recently in the U.S. that you can look to as a corollary or an example.
So, yeah, what do you, I mean, when it comes to kind of threats you see for, let's say, people who are activists, community organizers who have, you know, had their face published as part of an anti-fascist gathering or whatever, when you think about like crackdown concerns, what are the potentialities that kind of run through your head as kind of likely narrative events that could happen, and then kind of what you see as the best reactions to those?
Right. So, you know, I mostly focus on either the basics or the worst case scenario. So obviously there's that step ladder, right? You know, mm-hmm. So I am always thinking about, you know, the basics of, you know, okay, what happens if I have been doxxed, right? You know, the vast majority of people that come to me for assistance tend to be people who are afraid of being doxxed or who have already been doxxed. Doxing is I'll just explain it real fast. You know, doxing is whenever either your face, your identity, what your name is, your age, your location, who your family is, your associations have been revealed in and shared with a threat group or a large group of people who could potentially gather this information and and use it as a threat against you. You know, to harass you, to show up at your house, to find you in a crowd, and to attack you or to harass you or to, you know, discourage an employer from working with you and whatnot. And so, you know, they're like, unfortunately, once you're doxxed, it's kind of hard to, it's an entropy cut kind of thing. Like you can break it, you know, like you can, once you make an omelet out of eggs, it's very hard to make the eggs back into an omelet. Right. So, you've got to kind of start over after you've already been doxxed and start from scratch in terms of like how to protect yourself. And you'll never have the same level of protection as you did if you hadn't been doxxed in the first place. And that's the unfortunate reality. The kinds of things that you can try to do, obviously, you know, if you were in a crowd where you may be doxxed, you know, wear some kind of face covering or protection. You know, obviously we're in a pandemic, so, you know, masks make sense these days. Another situation another thing that you can do is you can just avoid being in the main group of a crowd or in the front line of a crowd. Like it sometimes is just as simple as just not being where the cameras are as well. Like being aware of where cameras are, where people who are maybe documenting things are, and avoiding those locations. I personally tend to be around the journalist gaggle myself, because that way I see where the cameras are pointed because I'm behind them as opposed to in front of them. So that's my own personal little trick to not being captured on film or on camera. If I'm at an event, something as simple as that is just sort of knowing your angles and knowing, you know, who's watching and things like that. And then, don't put out your address, don't give out your address, and, you know, like do surveillance detection routes when you go home or when you're leaving, you know, for a high risk, event or activity. The more that you think about it, the more questions that you ask, the better off you are. You tend to be, and I think that a lot of people get very focused on their phones as well, as opposed to like simple things like their faces and their interactions and how they dress and how they look in a crowd. There's this concept called the gray person concept. The prepper community tends to generate.
Yeah, the gray man.
The gray man.
Yeah,
I'll wait on that.
No. Go ahead and explain it, and then I'll talk about, because I think there's a difference between the wisdom in the concept and also how idiots tend to adopt it. So I'll chat about that after you introduce it.
Right. So the gray person concept, in my mind, it tends to be a way of, you know, just sort of blending into a crowd, you know, or into an environment, right? You know, if you are in a small town in a rural area, you know, dress like look how other people dress. You know, if you show up, you know, wearing a bright colored, you know, jacket with brand names on it and a beanie cap, you'll probably be recognizable even by people who are not looking for you. There will be people who will be like, that person looks out of place, and then they can go come back in their memory and be like, you know, if somebody asks questions them, they'll be like, oh yeah, I remember the person in the orange Nike jacket wearing a red cap. You know, the gray person concept is about avoiding that, just being unrememberable, unrecognizable in a crowd, in an environment like that. You know, I have names for what I do. Like I have my soccer mom vibe. I have my, you know, for the suburbs, I have my business attire vibe for when I'm in an urban area. I have, you know, my street clothing, you know, for if I'm at a protest or at a march of some variety. And then, you know, if I'm out in the rural areas, you know, I've got my jeans, I've got my belt buckle, and I've got my plaid shirt, right? You know, so with a little bit of camo, right? You know, like it depends on your environment. But you know, so basics are avoid bright colors, avoid branding unless everybody else is wearing the same branding. So if you're at a sport, if you're in a college town, you know, and you have the mascot of that team is everywhere, then it makes sense to have a jacket that has that sports team color on it, you know, or that mascot on it. You know, so it's about it's a juggle and it's an adjustment, and no situation is the same. Like this idea that there's this one gray person outfit is kind of absurd. And I think a lot of people who do this stuff, they tend to like buy the most tactical stuff. Like don't wear tactical gear and Hawaiian shirts, you know, in the middle of like upstate New York, for instance, right? You're gonna stand out.
So the gray man, and it's usually referred to in like kind of the tactical prepper community as like gray man,
yes.
has turned into its whole fashioned brand, which is like literally the opposite of the point. The point is that like nothing about you would stand out in a crowd. But people have this, like if you're like me and you talk about guns at all on social media, you get a bunch of targeted ads for like specific backpacks that are meant to carry entire rifles and have like body armor panels in them and like hoodies with gun holsters. And
we know it and we see it. So if we're it, you know, I can tell a 5.11 tactical bag from a mile away. You know, mm-hmm. I own them. I own good bags. I carry good bags. But the idea that a potential threat isn't going to immediately recognize those brands of bags and those form factors of bags and jackets and pants is absurd. You know, any law enforcement person is going to know. You know. Any law enforcement or intelligence or paramilitary group is going to be able to be like, I know those pants.
Yeah, you'd be much more useful to basically jerry-rig your own in these scenarios, kind of like what booster bags used to be. There's like brands that like sell them now, which is like, no, that's not the point. Like a brand new booster bag. That's not the thing.
If you want strong, sturdy wear, then go for the tactical stuff. But if you're trying to do the gray person concept, go to Target.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way it's been taken by like the prepper tactical community is you have to like dress like Jason Bourne, right? And like, so everybody who winds up doing gray man in that community winds up looking like a federal agent, right? They have like the cargo pants and they've got like
as soon as you wear a 3A hoodie. Everyone can see you.
But if you're in Northern Virginia, that is the gray person. Like if you are
you're in Fed country, dress like a Fed for sure. Wear a black hoodie, you know?
Yeah. And there's even like smaller, simple things. Like I have a friend who is decently good at like this gray person concept. I don't think he uses that term, but he teaches stealth classes at a parkour gym I used to go at. And one of the main things that gets talked about is like even like controlling where your eyes are and controlling where your head is super useful for trying to do that. Like if you're like looking around always, if you're always perked up, if you're like very focused on things, people are going to pay attention to you. If you keep your head down, if you keep your body kind of slouched, people's eyes graze over you so much more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, be the loser kid in the hallway and
absolutely.
Yeah, be the go to a grocery store and like. Watch the moms, right? Like watch the kind of clothing they're wearing or like watch, you know, dads with their kids, like watch people who normally you would just kind of like, oh, these are just other people around in the world. And dress like those people, like that doesn't attract much in the way of attention. Like you are being less of a gray man if you're wearing the specific gun concealing tactical pants than if you're wearing, I don't know, sweatpants and a flannel, you know, like just like think about how people actually dress in the world and go at like part of effectively doing that is actually paying attention. It's like Chelsea said, if you live in a place where like every third person is a government contractor, then yeah, maybe go with the khakis and the polo and whatever, like, right?
Yeah.
Like that may be your best bet. But if you're in Williamsburg or whatever, there's going to be different clothing that isn't going to like arouse any suspicion.
Right. And, you know, you all often saw this as an example, you know, from my own military background. You know, you would see this with special forces, right? The special mm-hmm. operators would come in wearing, you know, would come into a village wearing just decked out in tactical gear and
yeah.
with their beards and their schmogs, right? And, you know, of course they stand out, right? You know, it the idea that they were secret or that they were invisible is you know, they may fit into the culture and they may look cool, but they, you know, a true operator is not going to do those things. I mean, at least one who is actually trying to do the great person concept.
Yeah, and it's it kind of dovetails into one of the other things I think is the dumbest thing you see on kind of like the prepper, whatever, right, is like open carry, which is like you can't get further from this concept than visibly carrying a weapon.
Yeah.
Which if your goal, and it always should be in a violent situation.
Yeah, it should be concealed, but accessible.
Yeah, if you're carrying a firearm. But in general, There's a concept within kind of like the military and people who like particularly within kind of like special forces of it's called the onion of survivability. And the basic idea, you know, it's a diagram of an onion that's supposed to kind of explain to you the different things you can do that make you more survivable in a gunfight or another dangerous situation. And
yeah.
stuff like having body armor is the tiniest part of the onion. Because if body armor is useful to you, a number of things have gone wrong because you've been shot. Like, it's not the worst case scenario, but it's the second worst case scenario. The things that protect you most are not having body armor. They're not being seen. If you are seen, not being acquired, which means not being seen, not being noticed, not being targeted is by far like the biggest thing. And so if, you know, you are wherever you are becomes a markedly more dangerous place, whether you specifically are targeted or if there's just a lot of random violence going on, your best bet for safety is always going to be not being targeted. And obviously there's no perfectly doing that, right? As you know, we've all seen enough stories of mass shootings where the victim is a bunch of kids in a fucking elementary school. I'm not trying to like victim blame people who do get targeted, but there are things that you can do to make it less likely that you'll be targeted because anyone looking to do violence.
There are also things that you can't do, like, you know, like you can't change the color of your skin. You can't change the language that you speak, you know, and these are things that the prepper community just don't take into effect. It's always a white dude. Right. You know, you know, and me being a femme presenting trans person. Right. My outfits tend to lean towards something that is non-threatening in a gray person situation. Like, and that's why I have my sort of. My soccer mom get up, right? You know, which is, you know, it's the kind of thing where, you know, you wouldn't notice me in a Walmart, right? You know, I'm not wearing boots. I'm not wearing, you know, fancy clothes. Mm-hmm. I'm not wearing, you know, it's stuff that you get at Target. It's faded clothing that maybe like that's been worn a bit, but you know, neutral tones of clothing, you know, a bag, you know, just what fits for that particular environment, right? You know, and who you are will affect that. You know, if you have brown skin, you are not going to be able to dress up the same way as you would in West Texas. Like, you're not going to be mm-hmm. able to blend in the same way that a white you know, guy in a cowboy in a, you know, in a gallon size cowboy hat is able to do.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
I would like to talk about something that was brought up a lot last year, mostly towards the end of the protests, with stuff like Cellbright and Pegasus.
Oh boy, yeah, the MSI catchers or whatever they are,
Phone hacking / phone cloning. Yeah. Specifically, those two brands boast for their abilities to break into Apple phones, both from a distance and, you know, with once the phone is actually, like, once they have physical possession of the phone. And, you know, this freaked out a lot of people, and people, you know, there's a lot of people when they go to demos, they talk about, like, not bringing your phone, which can be very, very useful for a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But for some people, it is a necessity, because they need, for various reasons, they need it to, like, get around, to get in contact with certain people. So what are good security things to kind of get in the habit of if you need to have your phone at places and you are thinking of these types of surveillance technologies? You know, is stuff like are Faraday bags useful? Are certain brands better than others? What are, like, I know there's a lot of, like, grifting in this kind of sphere online as well. People who, like, make these, like, you know, security type things for, you know, to protect yourself. There's a lot of, like, dubious websites claiming that they can protect you. How would one go about? Well, first thing, if you would be able to explain what Cellbright is, and, like, what would people could do to prevent some of the worst effects.
So there are a number of tools that law enforcement and forensics offices use. They're not as good as the intelligence agencies. You know, I think people just jumped immediately to the NSA because of the Snowden leaks in 2013. Your biggest threat groups are actually going to be much lower tier if you're a protester, since those methods tend to be reserved for the most extreme cases. You know, anything involving, like, large mass casualty incidents, national security, or, you know, foreign states, right? If you're a protester on the street, your biggest threat group is going to be your local law enforcement and your local federal agencies in the U.S. And the methods that they use are going to be these tools called, you know, there are different brands for it. There are different methods. IMSI catching, which is an older method for capturing your location, both your location and any text messages that you're doing over SMS, can be just sort of grabbed out of the air. If you're using a data plan, you know, like just tend to, you know, your stuff is going to be at a higher level of encryption. So you want to keep your, if you are going to use your communications, use encrypted communications, I highly recommend Signal. There are a number of problems with WhatsApp. There's a number of problems with Telegram. There's another number of problems with all of these different applications. They will provide you some level of protection, but Signal, I think, is just the safest and the most reliable. But it also isn't perfect, and there are going to be situations where you know using Signal fails. I can think of a number of situations where Signal, in particular, failed on Android devices that were physical possession was obtained by a law enforcement agency, mm-hmm. and they were able to even see disappeared messages.
And that brings us back a little bit to the turning off, you know, the thing that is often recommended for protesters, turn off biometrics if you're bringing your phone to a protest, yeah. which is not ideal. Turn off biometrics and
turn off like visible notifications. So like when you get signal messages, yeah. they aren't popping up with people's names and all the contents of the message, because then right. they don't need to break into the phone. They can just watch mm-hmm. your screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Put it in Do Not Disturb. Stick it in a Faraday bag. Put the Faraday bag in one of your holes.
Turn off your phone. Importantly, mm-hmm. if you have a Faraday bag, there's no point. If you put your bag into a Faraday, if you have your cell phone not on airplane mode and it's on the data, it's on the cell network and it's pinging and you've got bars and you leave it on and you put it into a Faraday bag, you may as well just be in an elevator at that point, mm-hmm. because that's the best protection you're going to get. You can double wrap it, but actually physically like turn it off into completely off to where you actually have to turn it on if you're going to put it into a Faraday bag, because mm-hmm. you are reducing the purpose and the level of protection that you have. I know a number of people who have made this mistake where they think, oh, my phone is safe because it's in a Faraday bag. Well, you know, you are muffling you're getting one bar, but you're still, if somebody's close enough and they have if they're physically close enough, they can still IMSI catch, they can still identify you, and your phone is automatically going to try to transmit harder and use up more battery power. So it's even a risk in terms of like, you know, just sucking up all the juice out of your battery as quickly as possible, you know, by putting it in there and it's not off. And yeah, I think that turning off your phone, keep putting it into a Faraday bag is the best compromise for not bringing your phone at all. That's what I tend to do, is I turn off my phone, put it into a Faraday bag, dig it into my bag, and then if I need it, I can pull it out. And I keep my phone on airplane mode and use, you know, like whatever Wi-Fi services there are with a VPN. Yeah. Like, these are things that I do if I'm in a situation like that. One thing that's been on my mind more and more are, you know, situations which are more extreme and which are less of what we've been seeing for the last, you know, decade or so.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, what I mean is imagine such situations where, you know, the people in the United States haven't seen very often the full effects of the security establishment just unleashed, unchained,
yeah,
right?
That boomerang hasn't come all the way back around yet.
Right. Oh, it has. It's just the people forgotten about situations where the government has unleashed its full potential, right?
Yeah, you know, Standing Rock. Yeah.
Oh, even bigger, like, you know, the biggest example that I can think of is the Boston bombing, right? Where essentially West Boston and Cambridge and Watertown were turned into a military occupation, right? Where they were just warrantlessly busting down doors, using every single surveillance method, you know, somebody in Washington pushed the button and said, we're going to, you know, unleash the full potential, you know, and it was over two guys, you know, who. Mm-hmm. And who murdered a couple of people, you know, and more people have died. More people have died in some of these protests than they killed and injured in that bombing. So, you know, like the government has the option and the choice to fully unleash its full potential. And those are the kinds of situations that I've been trying to sort of threat model for, is situations that are more extreme and that we haven't really encountered before. You know, what happens whenever, you know, warrants don't mean anything? What happens whenever, you know, like what happens whenever you have a blend, a hybridized blend between a pair, between whether, you know, you can't tell whether it's whether it's a paramilitary street gang or if it's a legitimate law enforcement agency, you know, like,
and which is something that happened to people in Oregon last year with the checkpoints during fire season, where there were folks who looked almost indistinguishable from cops in their body armor and guns, checking people for driving into certain towns.
Yeah,
it's a mild version of the thing you're talking about, but like this isn't, you know, this isn't what you're modeling is like 5 minutes ahead. It's not a huge leap.
Yeah. So, you know, in those kinds of situations, you know, your threat models are going to change for everyone, right? You know, in that instance, you know, you may not have internet access. It may be shut down. It may be restricted, right? You know, so a lot of those things, a lot of those resources that I was suggesting before in terms of protecting yourself are, you know, are for situations where you have a somewhat functioning, you know, liberal society and government, right? With some norms and protections, right? But if those norms and protections are eroded to a certain point or they are removed, then you need to start thinking about like the kinds of methods that are used by more extreme situations, such as in conflict zones, like where you might not use your cell phone at all. You may only use a laptop, you know, that is disconnected from the internet and to do all of your things. You may have to physically carry, you know, USB devices to transfer information. You may need, you know, your least concern may be showing up at a protest. Your primary motivation may be to avoid all crowds at all, you know, in those kinds of situations. You know, that, and that's what I've been talking about in terms of like threat modeling. You have to understand what your threat is, and that can change. You know, mm-hmm. If you're a normie, that can shoot up if you're in a situation where you're not sure who the actual governing authority is.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or a ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
I don't want to, with this, get to the place where we're trying to amp people up or freak them out. Part of the point of like thinking about this stuff and understanding kind of the risks and what could happen and how to mitigate it is so that it's less freaky if something like it happens. And so that you're kind of prepared and understand like what the possibilities are. And I wonder kind of why you think things didn't go as like, to the extent you're talking about, like what happens if this national security apparatus turns like it on fully and hits people kind of like full in the face. Do you think that didn't happen last year?
So I think it didn't happen last year because, you know, it was too big of a protest movement for the government to try to suppress fully. And it would lead to backlash. And also it wasn't enough of a threat to the order of things, so to speak, for that level of, you know, of extreme measures to be, enacted and used, right? Those methods tend to be used for the most extreme situations in which the federal government in particular, not just the state and local authorities, but the federal government feels that there is a distinct threat. I mean, obviously, in the case of the Boston bombing, they viewed that situation very differently than they do, you know, a couple thousand people protesting, you know. It just has very, very different, it has a very, very different, intent. What my concern is what happens when, you know, state and local authorities in a particular region or locality cease to function, you know, they just stop showing up, and what the federal government does in that situation, right? You know, where, you know, law enforcement decides, actually, we're going to let people murder each other. We don't care, you know? We're going to let paramilitary groups do policing operations. We don't care, you know, in that kind of situation, the federal government may step in, and assert its authority, you know, and it has happened before, you know, Reconstruction, you know, where, you know, there weren't really sheriffs that you could go to in the South. So, you know, the military essentially established, its own court system, its own government. So there is precedent, but it's never been used in the 21st century high technology, high surveillance, like, you know, the Union Army in South Carolina was not using drones, right?
I wonder if the closest thing we've gotten to that sort of recently was during the LA riots in the 90s.
Yes.
Because, I mean, like, you know, they deployed the army there. I think we almost got that last summer.
We did.
Yeah.
The problem is that it was happening in too many cities, and the military only has, like, people forget, the military only has so many logistics that it can move at a time, right? It actually takes time to move a division of troops, right? You know, you can move a brigade combat team in 96 hours only because that brigade combat team has been designated and has been trained for and been tooled up for 6 months to be able to do that. And it can only do that. It only has that capability for a year, right? So the idea that you can move multiple divisions of troops to multiple major cities in the span of a week or a month is a reaching. You know, you have to pre-stage that stuff. It takes time. It takes time to move this stuff. Even if you cut corners, you know, the redeployment in Afghanistan is about the speed that you're going to see a deployment within the United States of, say, the military or whatnot.
And that's essentially like a deployment to a city and is even in some ways kind of less than you would need because of the limited scope of the mission if you were trying to like lock down New York or Los Angeles.
Right. You could send active duty troops to Los Angeles in 1992 because it's limited to Los Angeles. You have a specific mission. You also have, you know, there used to be a military base that was nearby. Not nearby, like nearby in military terms, like a 3-hour mm-hmm. drive. You know, you had what is it, Fort Ordo? By Monterey.
I don't know if it was called Bazelon yet, but yeah, there's like Marine Corps training bases near San Diego. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, like it's feasible, right? The idea that you can do this in 50, 60 cities you can't do it. We couldn't do it in Iraq with 120,000 troops. So, you know, the best we could do was like deploy a division here and there and play, you know, what John McCain called whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
Trump did ask the military to come to Portland. They just said no because they thought it would be a bad idea. So instead we got the DHS.
And where would those troops come from? What affiliate, you know, what kind of affiliation would they have? What kind, you know, National Guard troops tend to reflect the sentiment of a slightly more right-wing, you know, version of the population. Maybe the Overton window is a little bit more to the right, but not that much, you know?
Yeah, they're not as much as, like, cops. It's a much more mainstream chunk of the populace, which is why when we did have National Guard in Portland, they were a lot less violent than the federal agents had been or than the cops.
Yeah. They're also green, you know. They haven't been inculcated or indoctrinated for years with this idea that we are here to occupy and to suppress, right? It takes a while for that mindset to sort of set in. It did happen in Iraq and Afghanistan, so it doesn't mean that troops won't gain that mindset if there was a domestic occupation of some variety. From a federalization of troops, but it would start to kick in. It wouldn't take as long as you think. Maybe a few violent incidents, you know, before that mentality starts to kick in.
The one other interesting thing to look at, like in terms of like how fast security apparatus can be deployed, is like in the days after January 6th, there was like a lot of people. We're getting door knocks from the FBI. Like there was a lot of people, like to the point where there was like bystanders who were just watching were like, the FBI showed up at my house and they said that they knew I was around January 6th. And they showed me on a map, the actual spot where I was standing on the sidewalk. And like the FBI very quickly got tons of phone records. That was like immediate. So like, they don't always have them all the time, but they can get them very quickly whenever they want to.
Yeah, they were reaching out to so many people that, like, FBI agents whose job is not at all doing anything like that. Like, everybody who was, like, not out sick for work was doing door knocks. Like, people who were in completely different branches because they had gotten so many people's records and they were just kind of flooding the zone. Which I think is less about fact finding, because I think it was less about fact finding and more about kind of a show of force.
Yeah.
You know, the kind of force that the FBI does exert, which is information force primarily.
Yeah. I mean, that in presence, you know, the fact that they can knock on door, they can knock on your doors, even though there may not be no actual purpose. You might not have information, but they don't care because the whole point is we knocked on your door. Like OneSix was the second. I mean, was I think the largest investigation. I mean, which is quite something if you look at the fact that 9/11 was previously the largest investigation. Like 9/11 is now the second largest federal law enforcement investigation in U.S. history, with OneSix being higher.
Everybody. We beat Bin Laden.
Yeah. So, you know, the capability exists. It's a matter of actually enabling those resources, you know. So, and in that instance, it was for 18 people In this instance, it was for several hundred, which is one of the reasons why it scaled up.
Yeah, we're closing in on 600. The consequences
from the federal agency's perspective of the this investigation are different. Like, I don't think you're looking at a death penalty Guantanamo case.
I guess one other thing that I want to see if you think there's something you can take from it, which is that, you know, if you look at the response between, like, the people fighting outside the White House last summer and then January 6th, is that there's kind of... You get safety in numbers to some extent. Like, it doesn't always protect you. You know, a lot of people, like, I mean, there's a bunch of Fed raids in Atlanta at the end of last year for people who were involved in protest stuff. But, yeah, like, I guess it... You know, the more unrest is happening, the more sort of... The harder it is for the crackdown to come.
Yes. Which is why they tend to hold back. You know, security forces have a tendency... I mean, this is why I think it's very important. If there is another uprising situation like last year, you know, and I don't think that is over from their perspective. They are going to continue to do investigations into what happened in summer 2020. You know, there are investigations still ongoing from the stuff that happened in 2016, you know, with Standing Rock. So... You know, obviously, the investigation in my own personal case of 2010 seems to never end, right? You know, so.
Something happened in 2010?
I won't get into that. Yeah. But, you know, the point is that one of the advantages that the federal government or state law enforcement has is time. You know, they don't have to always be there in a show of force. So you want to reduce, you know, if you, and that time can mean political changes, right? You know, where a situation like under a Republican president will be different than a Democratic president will be different than a situation where it's unclear who the president is.
Well, this has been a fun one. Fun stuff to think about. Chelsea, where can the good people or the bad people find you?
The good people or the bad people can find me at XYChelsea on Twitter. I am at XYChelsea87 on Twitch. I do some game streams periodically. I have slowed that down a bit, though. I have a Patreon at patreon.com/XYChelsea for content that I am currently... in the late stages of producing for tech related things, including, you know, things like cryptocurrency, artificial intelligence, surveillance, those kinds of concepts. I am also on Instagram at XYChelsea87. And I have a TikTok now. So I will be I'm working on several TikToks that are related to these kinds of things. Privacy, surveillance, and protecting yourself. As I showed my everyday carry bag was one of the first things that I showed.
Awesome. Well, all right. Find Chelsea there and find us tomorrow with another episode of It Could Happen Here, talking about, I don't know, something. Something. Yeah. Something.
Let's go.
Oh, actually, Garrison, we know what it'll be. Why don't you put in a plug for the thing you did?
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow, I will be releasing the first of a two-part episode on my trip to northern Minnesota. I traveled to an Earth First gathering and subsequent Stop Line 3 protest camp. Was there for a little over a week. Was present and documenting multiple kind of direct actions. And, yeah, we'll be talking about both, like, Earth First and, like, the history of environmental organizing, and then the more modern kind of Stop Line 3 protests going on and what Enbridge is doing. So that is going to be the next two episodes. We'll be covering that topic.
All right.
And actually, and another fun little side note. I just finished a video game called Telling Lies, which is about the federal surveillance operation into an environmental protest group. And I think this game was done very well. I would love to talk about it more on the podcast eventually, after I do some more like reading on its development. But if you wanna get a look at like potential ways feds do like surveillance, this game is actually a great example of how they infiltrate in environmental activist groups and different methods they use to surveil people and how they can pull, like, you know, videos and phone records, that kind of stuff. So just fun tangent on all these topics.
Yeah, this has been a fun day for everybody. Well, that's going to do it for us that It Could Happen Here.
Wasn't even the heaviest stuff that I could get into, Robert.
Well, we'll do that maybe in another week.
Thanks, Chelsea.
Okay. All right. Well, until next week or tomorrow, whatever.
Bye.
Happen.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.